encouraged, and empowered. And we're going to refer back to that a little bit this morning and what we're going to do here. But before I get into sort of setting up what we're going to do a little uniquely this morning, I wanted to make reference of our, lack of a better word, our holiday calendar for the Hub. Basically, you can remember this, that, and if you want to jot it down, you can, that the Tuesdays before Thanksgiving, Tuesday before Christmas, and Tuesday before New Year, we will not be meeting. So technically, that's next Tuesday, whatever the date is, we won't be meeting. The 23rd of December and the 30th of December, we will not be meeting. Then we'll pick up again the Tuesday after New Year's. Sound good? Great. So recently, not too long ago, our church staff were meeting. You know, it was a meeting of the pastors of the church and different ministry leaders. And we were asked this question. We were asked to think about, who is somebody, or maybe some different people, who uniquely influenced your life spiritually? We were asked this. It could have been someone, the person that maybe have first initially introduced us to Christ. It could have been somebody that discipled us or had a profound impact on us. And so we were discussing this. And I thought about this morning for the Hub. And I thought about what we've been walking through in the book of Romans. I mean, the book of Romans is so amazing. It's Paul's incredible treatise of, you know, the Christian faith, the gospel. And so I started thinking about and asking the question, Paul is, not only has he influenced the world in light of his teachings and his ministry and his missionary journeys that initially spread the gospel to places that otherwise would not have heard, but he's still influencing us today. The reason that Steve said, I want to go through Romans for the next 2 years, by the way, this is a two-year journey we're on, okay? Just so, because you don't want to rush through something so rich. But what's happening is Paul, God, the Lord, God's Spirit, through the writings of his servant Paul, we're being equipped today in 2025, 2026, and part of 2027. We're being encouraged and we're being empowered to live it out, right? So thinking back, I'm like, okay, if Paul is still influencing us today, who influenced Paul? Who impacted him? Who are the people that he would look at and say, when I needed to be equipped, when I needed to be encouraged, who was there for him? And so, of course, we're going to talk about that a little bit, and then we're going to turn it a little bit into first person, okay? So many of you know the story of Paul's life. Before he got that name changed, he was Saul of Tarsus. And we're going to look in a little bit into Acts chapter 9 here in a second. So feel free to turn there if you have your Bible. Turn to Acts chapter 9. But you know the story well. He was described as, he was a young leader. In other words, he was an up-and-comer. He was a rising leader among the Jewish people at the time. He was zealous. He had a lot of zeal. He was knowledgeable. He knew the teachings. He knew the word. But he was also passionate about putting down this new thing, this new cult that was known as, at the time, as the way of Jesus. So he was saying, he rose up to say, I'm going to be part of putting this down. So he was the leader that approved of the killing of the very first martyr for the Christian faith, of course, Stephen. And so if you think about it, picture this, in this time, in this area, there was a lot of fear about this guy named Saul among the new believers. So you got to remember, Christianity was very new, very young at this time. So a lot of people, this was brand new for them coming to faith, right? They were locked in, but then they hear about, this is going to cost us. I mean, many of you heard Jonathan's sermon a couple days ago, the cost of discipleship. There were a lot of people who were saying, I want to follow, I want to continue following Jesus. He is worth it. He's changed my life. And then they're getting word of, but it might cost you something. It might cost you arrest. It might cost you your life. And the name that was associated with that persecution was Saul of Tarsus. And so I'm going to first take a quick look in Acts chapter 9. We're going to see a little bit of the story of why he was being so feared. Again, Stephen had just been martyred, so the word was getting around, and the church was being persecuted, and as a result of that, they scattered, right? They left, and so the gospel was moving even in the midst of persecution and because of it. But Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 22 says this, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. 'Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless because they heard the sound, but they didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand into Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind. He didn't eat or drink anything. And in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision, 'Ananias.' 'Yes, Lord,' he answered. And the Lord told him, 'Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight.'" Now get this, verse 13. "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm that he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and he entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. And all those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? On this name? And among those, excuse me, and hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. I mean, you put yourself there in Damascus? I mean, you, it's obvious by what we read here that Ananias was aware that Saul was coming there. He knew that he was coming to persecute himself and those that he loved dearly, right? So imagine what it would be like for him. Imagine what it would be like for the other believers. And then all of a sudden, the story circulating of what happened. So I wonder what, what it was like for Ananias to think about, first of all, the risk that he took. I mean, this thing where Jesus reached out to him in this vision and said, or his voice, and said, "This is what you're going to do." And it seemed almost like, can you picture Ananias kind of bargaining with God there? "Lord, in case you don't know, let me tell you about this Saul guy." He said, "No, I've got this. I've got a plan here. And it involves you. I'm going to use you, and here's what you're going to do." And I don't know how reluctantly he did it, but he did it. And he shows up. And imagine also the sense of privilege, even if he probably still didn't fully grasp the impact that this man's life was going to have, the way that the world and the church would be changed forever. But I wonder what Paul, how he later felt about Ananias. I wonder what his level of appreciation or gratitude, or even if he understood all that that was like for Ananias. Okay, so going back to when, a week or so ago, when we as a church staff were asked this question, who were the people that impacted your life the most? I love that question. I love hearing what other people have to say about that, because we see so much, not just hearing stories, but we see the creative handiwork of God, the way that he not only uniquely weaves relationships together for his purposes, but the fact that every one of our stories of God, of people impacting our lives for Christ is just evidence of the fact that he sees you. God, the maker of heaven and earth, went after you. He went after me. He's still going after us. He's leaving the 99 to go after the one, and you're the one. The one that he loves, the one that he goes after. So for me, as I thought about that, and some of you know a little of my story, I've shared it before, that I was raised in a home that I would call irreligious. There was no talk of God. We didn't even go on Easter or Christmas to church and all that. But God went after me as a teenager. And then right before I started college, I understood the gospel and I placed my faith in Christ. I go off to college. You know, college is usually that time of incredible spiritual growth. Some of you all of a sudden are going back to your fraternity parties in your mind right now. But at that time, as a freshman in college, there's a man named Joe Bucha, B-U-C-H-A, who was an Indiana Hoosier who was living in Fort Worth, Texas, and I heard about this small group Bible study that was being started in the freshman dorm. And so I said, I'll check that out. And this guy named Joe, who seemed so much older than me at the time, like, this is an adult, this is a, this mature grown man, he was 25 at the time. But Joe led this Bible study that I got to be a part of. And we started developing a relationship. And then he discipled me. And he had an impact on my life. And over time, the things that stood out to me about Joe were, Joe saw something in me that I had no idea I could ever see in myself. He saw that I'm still a dork, but I was really a dork back then. I have no idea how he saw any potential for leadership in 18-year-old TJ Diamond, but he did. And he not only taught me, and we opened the Word, and I was in Bible study with him for a couple of years, but more importantly, he modeled so much. He modeled his own. He modeled authenticity. I had no thought that Joe Bucha is this, you know, complete solid guy that never makes mistakes. Joe was very open about his own failures and how he grew from them. So he was very, very authentic. He also loved the Lord, loved his wife, and then over time he was involved with ministry. I began watching how he did ministry in the fraternities and the athletic teams on campus. He was highly, highly relational in his approach. He developed friendships with the people. He gained this kind of access, you know, people wanted to be around Joe because he cared about them. And I remember thinking, of course, I was going to be a sports writer. That was my career path at the time. But I remember thinking, although I'll never go into ministry, I mean, I wanted to go to all the games for free and then get paid to write about them. That was the abundant life I was looking forward to. Until But I remember thinking, I'm not going to go into ministry, but if I ever did, I'd want to do it like Joe does. Because he's having fun. And anyway, so Joe had this influence in my life that was so profound that when I later got engaged and was going to get married, I asked Joe if he would be my best man in my wedding. This is the kind of impact that he had on me. And we of course, still keep in touch. And, you know, here I am. That was when I was in college. So, gosh, again, that was at least 20, 25 years ago. But here I am still remembering, you know, talking about this. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a little time. Again, going back to what are we here for? We're here to be equipped, empowered, and encouraged. And so we're going to talk around our tables of someone in your life, maybe one person, think of. And we're going to have a little time to be able to do this morning where you share who was that person in your life. It could have been a long time ago. It could have been recently. It could be someone that is still having an impact on your life. It could be someone that led you to Christ initially. It could be somebody that, like Joe, initially came alongside you when you were young as a believer and helped you grow in your faith and helped establish you. It could be someone right now. So what we're going to do is have a moment where we'll just go around the table. If you don't want to share, if you don't have a story, no worries at all. But I'm guessing there is somebody. And so we're going to have time for people to share that. And then, and table leaders, I'm not going to come back up at the end at 8. So you can close out. But I'd ask table leaders this, that about 10 till or so, if you've got time, or 5 till, just have a time where either you or someone, maybe each other, thank the Lord for the people that you just talked about. Thank the Lord for their influence. Those people may still be around. They may be with the Lord now. But have a chance to be expressed. And there's a few reasons why. I mentioned, you know, the just appreciation for those that encouraged, equipped, and led us to realize that we're empowered by the Lord. But also, we're entering into a season of Thanksgiving. And so many times at Thanksgiving, what do we typically thank the Lord for? For all the ways we've been blessed, right? The resource, whatever it is that we have. This is a little different time. Let's thank the Lord for the people that impacted the most important thing in our lives, our walk with the Lord. And may that be a great impetus to a very special Thanksgiving season for you and your family. All right?